You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Joe. Non-farm payroll figures for June were better than expected, but only 47% of adult Americans are in full-time employment. And for the 37th month in a row, there are more people leaving the workforce than there are joining it. How convincing is the American recovery, and is there any hard evidence of this?
Well, I think there's hard evidence. If you look at the housing market, you look at the automobile production and the new workforce there, manufacturing employment, it's clear that this economy here in the United States is gaining traction. The employment numbers aren't perfect, but they're steady as you go. They're getting better relative from a year ago. I think the Fed's target is still a ways off, so no worry about tapering. But the recovery in the United States is for real. It is for real.
Well, the number of part-time workers continues to rise. Is this a challenge? Is this a change in employment landscape, and is that here to stay?
Well, you know, it's good that the part-time numbers are increasing. Hopefully, someone who's part-time today will be full-time tomorrow or in the future. So you're slowly but surely seeing U.S. companies become a little bit more generous about hiring. It's slow. It's a trickle, not a flood, but it's moving in the right direction. That's the key. Relative to the many other developed economies, the U.S. is really the only economy producing, generating growth right now and employment.
Well, Goldman are predicting 10-year Treasury yields of 3% by early 2014 and 4% by 2016. Is there fair basis for that call?
Yes, I do. I think it is because it is. It's based on a premise that the U.S. economic recovery, which, by the way, it's entering its fifth year in right now as we speak, is going to be self-sustaining, and that you're going to see a broadening out of growth, whether it's housing, autos, retail, exports. Consumer spending is picking up a little bit here. Households are still deleveraging. So, yes, back up in interest rates here, 3-4% in that range over the next couple of years is emblematic of a growing, healthy economy. So it's a good thing not to be feared. It's something to be welcomed.
Well, last weekend, Bloomberg reported that China's money market cash squeeze is likely to reduce credit growth this year by 750 billion yuan, which is about $122 billion, an amount equivalent to the size of Vietnam's economy. Given China's economic growth has largely been driven by credit injections over the past few years, is GDP growth this year likely to undershoot the 7.5% target?
It could very well undershoot. It'd be the first time in a long time since the Asian financial crisis that China did not meet its annual growth target. Probably closer to 7%. The big issue as we get into the fourth quarter is like, you know, what type of momentum does the economy have? China's in transition right now, away from exports and investment-led growth, and the lending squeeze is going to help create downward pressure on construction, money creation, spending. So I think we're looking at something in the, say, 7%, 7.2% range in terms of growth.
Well, strategists at Deutsche Bank think that much of gold's correction has already happened, considering mining companies are unable to generate free cash flow at current spot price. What is your outlook on gold prices?
I think gold prices may have bottomed here, but I don't see anything pushing up gold prices dramatically in the next couple of months, quarters, even years. So, you know, I would say more downside probably for gold, you know, nominally speaking. But anyone putting money to work in this asset class is probably going to be disappointed because we don't see a big move up or any catalyst for a big move up.
Do I take it that you're not holding any of this, any positions on gold?
Yeah, I like the, you know, precious metals more, like, you know, silver, palladium. They've been beaten up pretty badly. They have a use. They have a store of value. Silver is used for, you know, industrial production. So my preference would be there, not gold.
Right.
I'm not worried about inflation, so I'm not worried about gold.
Right. Well, if someone was to hold on to gold, would you recommend ETFs, physical gold, or mining stocks?
Probably more the ETF route, not mining stocks, because I do think they've had a phenomenal decade of growth and run and upside potential and strong returns. Here again, I think they're going to be in the doldrums for quite some time. So most probably in ETFs that are pretty flexible and nimble and have something, a broadly based, diversified portfolio by which to draw from.
Well, thank you, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan, MD and Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York on this morning's Market Watch.
BFM 89.9, the business station.